All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
Man.
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
Our first podcast in 2021.
Woo. Can you believe it? No.
Yeah. It's not our first podcast. We did last week. Our second podcast.
There you go.
2021. Yeah.
One more week until the big 2-year anniversary.
Oof.
You know, it's funny. We'll get to it later in the show, but just to tease it a little bit. Not all of our listeners, were happy to be reminded that we've had over 100 shows.
Blessing or curse?
That, it did not sit well with some people who may be now reconsidering their life choices. So, you know, you only live once. You only have so many minutes
exactly.
in a day.
That's,
right?
That's, so, I mean, come on.
You want to be careful how you spend those minutes.
Choose wisely, because you apparently have been choosing wrong.
Right. So later in the show, we'll have some advice on how to spend your minutes wisely. And spoiler alert, if you're still listening later in the show, then you're not spending them wisely.
Don't share all our secrets so quickly. All right. Look, things are starting to ramp up. There was a lot of news out there, but not a lot of movie news. But
right.
I think it's okay. I think that things are kind of ramping up. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that didn't really feel like it quite made talk notes, but like things are happening.
Right.
So I'm going to start off with Moon Knight this week.
Thank God. I thought you'd never get to that.
I mean, it's one of the Marvel TV shows coming along. We talked about it in the past. Apparently, the cinematographer, Gregory Middleton, he's confirming Oscar Isaac will be playing the lead role, which I am totally for.
Count me in.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like Oscar Isaac?
I was just going to say, Oscar Isaac is one of those actors who, when you're scrolling around and you're looking for a movie and it turns out that it stars Oscar Isaac or that he's even in it, you're like, oh, that's got to be a good movie. I'll watch that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, once Dune comes out and people see him in Dune, they're going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. So that's that's a big segue into a big news story that we didn't put in the show notes, but I texted you earlier in the week because I couldn't wait. I could not even wait until I was like, oh, well, I'll tell David on Sunday when we record the show. And then I was like, wait a minute. David deserves to know better.
That's true. And here I forgot to put it. It changed my life so much. I couldn't imagine the time when this wasn't the truth. So I didn't even put it in the notes.
Right. So here's the deal. And this is behind the scenes, unofficial. It's the kind of cutting edge journalism that you get from the Penn Cinema podcast. Like if we were not in the movie business, we wouldn't maybe have access to this kind of news because it's not being reported in the mainstream. But the word that I'm hearing, and again, I can't stress this enough. This is scuttlebutt. This is people talking, but they're not random idiots on the street talking. They're studio idiots.
Oh.
A special brand. It's a special kind of stupid. But I say that with love. And these are people who, you know, they're not completely isolated. There's reason to take them seriously. And here's the rumor. Here's what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is that Warner Brothers is regretting the decision to put the entire slate on HBO and that Dune may in fact be the first one that is announced that in fact it will not be available on day and date with HBO.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that that's, I think I give it maybe better than 50-50 being true. You know, it's definitely yeah. too early to report that, you know, I'm not trying to pass it off as news. But like I said, it's from people who are working in the business and they're reading tea leaves and they're, some of them are attending meetings and we're hearing things. But I think that would be great. I think that's great for two reasons, because obviously the big reason is we want to see Dune get a proper theatrical release. That's the main reason. But the other reason why this is great news is because I'm glad to see that Warner Brothers may be backpedaling a little bit. They may be rethinking their thought process.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get more into this, but I don't think that I can get more into it without without talking about Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So let's get into it more when we get back, when Wonder Woman comes back around.
Okay.
I think there are, because it had that HBO release, it ties yep. right together. So
okay, all right. So we'll more on that later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just gonna make a note here. HBO.
Don't forget Hubbo.
Yeah. All right. So here's one. I think it kind of gets me a little excited just because I've never had the opportunity to see it. Have you ever seen it?
No, but I can't tell you. It kills me. I really want to see it.
Yeah. So Paramount is now developing a film adaptation of Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Broadway musical Spamalot from a new screenplay written by Eric Idle, the show's original choreographer, Casey Nicolaw, is attached to direct. This is great.
This is nothing but, this is the kind of news I can get behind.
Yeah. Now, will this be blockbuster film? No. Will Monty Python fans like it? I'm hoping so.
I will.
Blockbuster?
No, I don't. I was just going to say, I agree with you that it's not blockbuster. So
yeah.
Let's say that it comes out in 2022. This is the kind of, and I'm not saying that. I'm just speculating.
Right.
Let's say it comes out in 2022. When we put the calendar together, we're not going to plan the year around Monty Python. But when we zoom in on certain seasons, whatever type of time of year they plan to bring this out, I think this movie is going to be a solid, I don't even want to say middle of the road. I think it's better than middle of the road. It's not quite going to be like a blockbuster. I would compare it to like when Les Mis came out.
Right,
like
right,
it
right.
was, you know, extremely well received, probably sells out a lot, but more importantly, I'll bet you it holds like forever. I would love to see this open in December. You know, I think this would be a great Christmas title. You know, like December 18th, open it the same night as Star Wars or what, you know, some other massive blockbuster. You know, no, I'm being serious, like a little, not quite counter, I don't want to say counter program because that's such a cliche term, but open this up like around the, I'd love to see this like be a Christmas release. And then my prediction would be it would hold all the way into March. I think this is the kind of movie that has legs.
I was thinking Thanksgiving, but Christmas works too. Like it just has that, like, this type of comedy has that warm
right.
feeling to it. I mean, even when it's bad, like, I don't know something about Monty Python.
Like, especially when it's bad.
Especially when it's bad. It just has this, like, kind of right. like stuck inside feeling of,
right.
like, you know, just bundled up and having a laugh.
A Thanksgiving yeah. release would be great, too. That would be my yeah. second choice. And I think the Thanksgiving release, the way that would play out, it would open either the Friday before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving. And then it would still be holding, like, for a couple shows. Like, you could see it over Christmas. Because I guarantee this is the kind of movie that, like, you know, people – there are non-moviegoers, people who would not regularly be moviegoers that – come out to movies on Christmas, and when they're looking at the schedule, like, what do you want to see? I don't know. What do you want to see? I don't know. What do you want to see? And then they see Monty Python, they'll be like, oh, I know, that's funny. Let's go see that.
Right. The thing that has me, I mean, this is a Broadway production that's been going strong for a long time. So it's like,
years.
It's a tried and true story. It's not like, oh, hey, Monty Python decided to put out a new movie here.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, randomly.
This is not the Chipmunks, the musical.
Right. This is something that's been working for a while, for a long time, and they're just adapting it for screen.
Right. And, I was very fortunate to have the opportunity. My mom actually hooked us up, Amy and I, and the family with tickets to see Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. a number of years ago. And then we also were fortunate to be able to see Kinky Boots, which is another great show. Mm-hmm. But Monty Python, Holy Grail is one that's like I've been wanting to see it for years and years and years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, so also, I don't know what you think about this, but Ray Fisher's Cyborg, you were just telling me the other night how excited you were to see Ray Fisher's Cyborg in The Flash.
That's all I've been talking about.
Or, no, you were saying Flesh.
Oh no,
that
got confused.
That was a whole different thing.
You got it mixed up, man. Come on.
No, that was a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
This I'm talking about The Flash, David.
The movie. I thought he was coming to town.
The really fast superhero, the movie about The Flash. Ray Fisher, Cyborg, he's not going to be in it. Did we talk about this? Did we think he was going to be in it?
No. Well, let me get into the underlying story here. So there's a lot of things going on with Ray Fisher and Warner Brothers. I'm going to be 100% honest that this kind of started a long time ago, and it has a lot of different undertones, a lot of different things. I have not been following it because there were a lot of stories like this. I think it's probably a good thing that it hasn't gone under the radar, but at the same time, it's been it feels like a played out story. I think there were some racial prejudice issues during the filming of Justice League. I'm pretty sure that's what the undertones were. However, this part of the story seems to be more about like him being ignored for script rewrites, and he came out and said he would not work with the guy who's heading up DC's Warner Brothers movies anymore. So he would not be involved in anything as long as this guy was involved. And the guy, his contract's been renewed, and they were basically like, look, like, you know, ultimately it's up to the higher ups whether or not a script rewrite goes through. And so he's like, I'm out. And then he had a part in Flash, but they wrote him out of the movie. As a result, and they said they're not going to be working with him as the Flash. Or
he was
the
in
Cyborg. Sorry,
he was in Justice League and Batman vs Superman, right?
He was in Justice League.
Oh, okay.
I think that was the only one he was in, but he was supposed to be in all these spinoffs and stuff. And his role, his movie got like his role in Justice League got really, really reduced to almost nothing. So
I don't want to oversimplify this, so correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. But doesn't this make you like Ray Fisher?
Sticking to his guns.
I mean, really, like this is a guy who's putting his money where his mouth is. Like, he obviously has some significant problem with the director guy, and I think that a lot of people would look at what he would have gotten paid, $1 million, $5 million, whatever, you know, but a chance to be in a massive blockbuster movie. A lot of people would have swallowed their pride. That's the wrong word. They would have put their morals aside. They would have put their beliefs, their principles. They would have put their principles aside, yeah, and sort of gone along for the ride and found a way to justify it in their own mind and compromise their beliefs. And I obviously don't know anything about whether Ray Fisher's in the right or the wrong, but I got to say, like, I admire him,
yeah,
for, you know, hey, good for you.
Yeah, I think that he definitely did the right thing here. I mean,
yeah,
like I said, I don't have all the details to give on exactly what went on. And I really, part of the reason I didn't do the research is I really didn't feel like we needed to drag it all out there again. It's because it's been going on for quite some time. There's a lot of articles you can go read about this, but the story here is that he's chosen to not be involved in Warner Brothers, DC product anymore. And as a result, they wrote him out of The Flash, which is still somehow a movie that's happening, which is crazy.
Maybe we're going to start a new trend and be like, stand with Ray Fisher and don't see The Flash.
Ooh. Ooh. Penny Arcade had a great comic this week about The Flash, and they were like, it's crazy that Michael Keaton's back as Batman.
And yeah, are we going to talk about that? I'm sorry. Go ahead and tell us about the Penny Arcade story, but then...
Yeah. And they said it's crazy. And they had a comic, and it was like, it's crazy that he's back as Batman. And the guy's like, well, you know, it's just a cameo in The Flash. And he's like, well, that's until they get him on set. And they had a picture of him on set. And he's like, I'm Batman. And the director's like, cut. We're just fucking doing a Batman movie.
So wait, tell me why. I mean, isn't Michael Keaton like 100 by now?
103, actually.
I mean, I'm nobody to talk because I'm freaking ancient and myself. But seriously, is he the new Batman?
No. No, so we have talked about this before, but it's okay that you don't remember.
No. Don't give me that, because okay. we just saw an article this week. There was a headline about Michael Keaton being the new Batman. So are you going to tell me this is that Spider-Man thing where there's like six different versions in the different universes? Okay. So why was there an article saying that the new Batman's going to be Michael Keaton?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's playing the same Batman. He's playing a Batman.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
So are we done with Ben Affleck?
I think Ben Affleck is... I mean, if he makes an appearance, he might, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple Batmen in the Flash movie.
Well, you?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I guess now is the perfect time to come out about it.
Ladies and gentlemen...
I've been cast as the Batman.
The rookie out of Lancaster.
First acting role. You know, they said we want a newcomer, no experience, out of shape. Let's get him in the role.
Right. Perfect. Especially the part about no experience. Right. He can't act. Perfect. Sign him up.
Have you heard him sing, though, they said.
Oh, don't worry. He can't sing either. That's like my coach. You guys may be small, but you're slow. The guy can't act. Oh, don't worry. It's okay. He can't sing either. But just take one look at him. My God.
My God. He doesn't look anything like that, man.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Woo. David, I just have to say, and I think I speak for all of our listeners, nothing in this world would make me happier than to see you as the Batman.
It'd be an interesting way to take things, that's for sure.
And then listen, let me tell you, so that makes me Robin. I mean,
you gotta be, yeah.
I'm just putting that out there.
Clearly. Oh, my gosh. All right, you ready to get into trailers?
Let's do it, please.
All right, okay, so the first one I got here for you.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to check any of these out? I know you had a busy day.
I did have a busy day, and I did check them out. That's the perfect word for it.
Okay, cool. The Night. This is my trailer of the week. I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Why? Because the reason why I'm surprised and the reason why I want you to explain is because this is the trailer that I fast-forwarded through the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's make sure you got the IFC movie tonight.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, David.
All right. This movie.
It was a horror movie?
Yeah, but it looked interesting.
All right. Tell us why, and I'll pull up the trailer that I watched and confirm that I saw the same thing.
Okay. You got a family here, an immigrant family in America who needs a hotel. They stop at a hotel, and it turns into one of those like nightmare paradox things where they're stuck, and the night keeps repeating, and they can't get out of the hotel, and weird things come happen. Like they call the cops, and the cop comes in, and he's holding their son in the room, and the door, there's a knock on the door, and they open the door, and the cop is on the other side of the door, and they turn around, he's not behind them anymore. the kid is gone, and
an Iranian couple living in the United States became trapped inside a hotel when insidious events forced them to face the secrets that have come between them in a night that never ends. I have to confess something.
Yeah.
I did watch the correct trailer and I did fast forward it. And I fast forwarded it, and I don't know if people feel the same way I do. In hearing you talk about it and in reading a little more about it, I'm going to go back and watch the trailer because it does look good. But I feel like I have, and it's not like I've seen a lot of horror movies, but on this show, on the Penn Cinema podcast, I feel like I have developed a little bit of a horror movie trailer fatigue aversion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, oh, great, it's another horror movie. I click start, it has the same ominous music, has the same dark sets, and then I'm like, whatever. And I fast forward, and then I don't appreciate it, and this looks like a really good movie, and I just blew it off because of my, you know, recently developed horror fatigue.
Yeah, well, especially this year when, like, the only trailers coming out were horror trailers.
Right.
Like, the only type of movie that was still being made was the horror one. I just thought this was kind of surprising, a little bit different take, just on the way things are. Especially, I like the idea that, you know, they are subtitled mostly because they speak their native, they're speaking Iranian, and then, but they're in an American hotel, so the other characters are speaking English, and it's just this, like, weird gap that already creates. And I thought it was a well put together trailer. I'm calling it my trailer of the week. The movie I'm more interested in seeing is probably this next one called Outside the Wire.
Yes.
Now, yes, this is a Netflix release, but I wanted to put it on here because of two reasons. One, I feel like this movie would have come to theater. And two, I just want to say, if it happens, and for whatever reason we need to watch something on streaming again, we need to put this on the list because I want to watch it. So we're going to review something at home again at some point.
When does Outside the Wire come out?
I'm not sure.
I think it's January 15th.
Yeah, I think that might be right. Stars Anthony
Mackie. That might be our movie next week.
Yeah? If nothing's coming out?
Well, here's the thing. Let's take a little sidebar from the trailers.
Yeah.
Do you remember that trailer we watched a few weeks ago for the Liam Neeson movie called The Marksman?
Yes.
And what did we say about it? We said, like, oh, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the only wide release coming out on Friday, January, whatever, 15th.
Really?
Yeah. So we're getting it at all Penn Cinema locations and Ephrata.
Wow.
Ephrata has a beautiful downtown two-screen twin theater that Amy and I run called The New Main, and we're opening The Marksman Thursday night.
You know what? I think it might perform, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to do some business.
Yeah.
So do you want to watch Marksman or Outside the Wire?
Well, I was going to say Monster Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll do Monster Hunter. Yeah.
I'm kind of in the mood for a horrible blockbuster film.
Oh, I got the perfect movie for you.
Is it Monster Hunter?
It's called Monster Hunter.
Did you watch it?
I did not, but I had to go in the theater the other day while it was running and address something that was going on. And I stood in the back for a few minutes when I was done, and I just thought, oh, my God.
I cannot wait.
Here's a little truth behind the movie business. I stood in the back, and I thought to myself, I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. I stood in the back, and I thought to myself,
can't contain himself.
I stood in the back and I thought to myself, I can't believe these people paid money to watch this movie. I'm sorry, but that's just true. That's the thought that went through my head. I felt bad, but I don't know. Yeah, listen, the interesting thing about Monster Hunter is, you know, on the way out, we didn't get any complaints. You know, it's not like people are walking out and going like, oh, that movie was terrible. You know, what are you doing? You know, oh, I want my money back. People enjoyed it, you know.
Wow. So, wow.
But I don't know. There was this one particular scene when I was watching it, and I just thought, oh, my God.
All right. Well, get ready next week for our scathing review of this movie, because it looks bad, and I'm going in like full ready for how bad it looks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so Outside the Wire, yeah, that looks good. It's Netflix. I'm really excited for this movie. It should be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's Anthony Mackie. He's a cyborg, or he's an AI soldier, and he looks human, but he slowly starts to go rogue in some way.
Yeah, I guess I didn't give you the chance to talk about this. So if you're one of our listeners who enjoys trailers, Outside the Wire is coming out on Netflix, but I fully agree with David. The trailer is amazing. It's worth checking out. And when it comes on Netflix, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the final trailer we have this week is called The Serpent, which stars, I don't know if it's Captain Plastic Surgery, or is she Sergeant Plastic Surgery? I mean, it's hard to tell what her rank is, but she's definitely 90% plastic. Definitely looks like she has some work done. Some actress. And she's a CIA agent, and guess what? CIA goes against her. She's got a action lady her way out of it, or something.
Oh my God, I watched the wrong trailer again.
It's okay.
This movie that you're talking about, The Serpent, according to where I found it, it already came out.
What?
The release date on IMDb is January 5th.
Okay.
Top Special Agent Lucinda Kaski works for a secret part of the CIA. She's given a special assignment, but then set up by her own agency.
But it still counts as a new, because this movie came out after we recorded last, so it's technically a new trailer for us, I guess. Whatever, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it does look pretty bad. Over on the BBC in England, the British Broadcasting Channel, I don't know if the company maybe is what it is, mm-hmm. There's another movie called The Serpent. This is a TV miniseries.
Oh, that's...
Which, that's the trailer that I watched. The twisting real-life story of Charles Chabar, a murderer, thief, and seductive master of disguise, who was a hidden darkness in the mid-70s on Asia's hippie trail, based on the true story. And I thought this looked pretty... My trailer of the week is Outside the Lines, Outside the Wire, but... The TV miniseries that I watched called The Serpent was my second choice.
Look, I'm going to give it to you, because when you Google The Serpent, that's definitely the number one thing that comes up.
And it has a 2021 release date, so you're like, oh, that's the right year. I'm not going to look stupid on the podcast again.
Oh, The Serpent came out in 2020 and we're in 2021. What am I thinking, Ben? Ah! It's the new year, old me.
Good old David.
I got it wrong. I got it really wrong on The Serpent, so my bad. Well, I was going to try and segue into it saying something about how it was wrong, but I don't know how.
All right, so those are our trailers.
Yeah.
Are we done? Can we move on?
Let's move on.
Done?
Oh, out. Come on, please.
And also, can I just say, I'm excited. I think we have another 3 months, 2 months. I'm excited to when the new trailers are for actual movies that we might see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what I noticed while watching Wonder Woman in the comfort of a fancy recliner at Penn Cinema?
Ooh, what?
The trailers had new dates on them.
Yeah.
And they weren't that far away.
They weren't that far away, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to jinx myself, so I'm just going to say it anyway, because I don't believe in jinxing. Yes, I do. There is no rumor. There is no discussion of movies getting moved. They moved Big Boss Baby from February release date. But like, I got posters yesterday for Tom and Jerry. I got posters for Nobody. I got posters for Mortal Kombat. I got Night Like This, I think is the name of one. So the studios are ramping up their marketing efforts, yeah. And I think they're committed. I think we're doing this.
When are we gonna get a trailer for Mortal Kombat?
I don't know, but we got a poster.
Well, that leads us right into the fact that we watched Wonder Woman 1984 this week.
And we did not watch it on Habbo.
No, we didn't watch it on Habbo. We watched it on a screen, on the big one. The big old screeno. What did you think of Wonder Woman 1984?
Well, when you say we.
Yeah.
Well, what?
What occurred was I said, Penn, I haven't seen you in 42 weeks. Let's watch a movie together. And Penn said, sure. And then the next day he's like, hey, I can't. See you. Bye.
So here's the thing. Lidditz reopened. And we have some outstanding managers. Let's use this moment to give a shout out to Encyclopedia Brown and Jason and Mr. Gladfelter and Mr. Holler and Joel and Mr. Manager, the whole team.
Yeah.
Really great job, and they're working closely with Drew, and they got that theater up and running.
Yeah.
So that's great. Ephrata, on the other hand, ain't got nobody. We ain't got nobody up in Ephrata, just me.
Just you.
Yeah, so I've been really busy this week, and so I apologize, David, for two things. First of all, I apologize that I was not able to join you. Even though we had plans on your big day off, I was not able to join you for the screening of Wonder Woman 1984. And I also apologize because I was not able to even watch Wonder Woman 1984.
What? What?
Now, what I can say is I've seen the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes like 10 times.
You could have even watched it at home and cheated.
Well, you know better than that. I would never.
I would never.
No, thank you. So, you're going to have to carry it. What's up?
This is like most things in life. Just put it on my shoulders. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. You got big shoulders. I know you can do it.
I had the delight of watching this movie. Unfortunately, not with Penn, but I got to watch my first ever movie with Encyclopedia Brown.
Nice.
Which was a trip and a half. I'll tell you what, that was a nice little treat. So, so Wonder Woman 1984. I liked this movie. I mean, people have been not saying some great things. I came out of the theater and I saw Drew, and he said, what'd you think? And I said, hey, you know, I think I like it. And he said, I'm not hearing a lot of that. So, you know what changed my perspective going into it? I'm going to give a lot of this to Encyclopedia Brown, because he had seen it before me, and he said that he liked it. And he said, the way that the movie is filmed that he didn't think people were getting was in the style of an 80s film or the way that, not the whole thing, but some of the stuff was done very much like the Wonder Woman television show. And
yeah.
Thinking about that, it made me look at some of the bad graphics in that light, which kind of changed things. Like there's a scene where she's running and it looks very hokey. And I'm like, well, that looks like a Linda Carter run. And,
right.
Now, I will say that the story just, I don't know, it makes some jumps, and it's not the best or anything, but this is still one of the better DC movies out there. I did really, maybe it's for lack of content, but I did really enjoy seeing this in the theater and seeing a new, like, blockbuster type thing. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I'm not gonna say it was great or anything, but it was a good time. Like I don't regret watching this movie. I don't think that it's. I wouldn't be like, oh, Wonder Woman 1984 is a bad film. It's like, no. Like I'll tell you that Suicide Squad, was horrible. And I'll tell you that, like, Justice League was horrible. And I'll even go on a limb and be like, yeah, Birds of Prey wasn't that great either, if you really think about it. But I thought this was pretty solid.
Here's my take on this.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just coming a little bit uninformed here, but I judge things by some... I feel like the less people... How do I put this? Regular people are really enjoying this movie. So, like, for example, I'm in Ephrata, and I get, let's say I have, you know, 9 people in there. Nobody is... This movie is pretty long. I mean, it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good, solid movie. I worked all weekend. I got a show in there right now as we speak. And so far, not one single person has come out of the movie to use the bathroom.
Really?
Like, they're not bored. They're not, you know, coming out, getting a cigarette, checking their phone, like, using the bathroom. Like, so the movie, like, you can't argue with the fact that the movie must be engaging, because I always judge a movie by how frequently people come out to use the bathroom, and when they do, how quickly they're, like, scurrying through the lobby, you know, versus, like, when it's a bad movie, they come out and they're, like, standing at the concession stand looking at the counter, like, maybe I'll get a Skittles or something, and, you know, and then sometimes they even go out and have a cigarette or whatever, and then they wander back in the movie. Nobody has come out of Wonder Woman since, I don't know, I think on Tuesday I had somebody come out.
Wow.
I mean, so I'm just saying, like, I know that we've been, you know, getting feedback that it's not the best movie and that people aren't loving it, but part of that to me feels like people are wanting to sort of jump on the bandwagon. And people who don't know that the bandwagon didn't like it, who are completely independent, they're like, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, this brings me to the point that I wanted to make about HBO. Most of the people I know who are saying that it's bad, I think pretty much all of them watched it at home.
Right.
And this is a discussion we had after the movie. I said, going into it with those visual effects on the big screen, they didn't look great, but I got the style that they were going for. If I was at home and watched this movie and saw the graphics like that, I would be really disappointed.
Right.
I think that it wouldn't, without like a little bit of work or a little bit of, without have seeing it on the big screen first, it would have been really jarring to have this advertised really flashy thing and then all of a sudden in the middle of it have poor graphic choices, special effects design. I really feel like a lot of it, and I'm surprised that I'm saying that, because I think that sometimes, like, some movies can transition to home and, you know, you're like, oh, you're missing the theatrical experience, and I totally agree, but like the movie still transitions really well. I just, for whatever reason, I think that this movie is not transitioning to home very well.
Yeah. Some people, I agree with you, and I've been saying that, and I stand by that opinion, but I did get pushed back a little bit by some people who are like, hey, the storyline doesn't matter if it doesn't hold up theatrically, the storyline has problems and, you know, this kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe apparently there are some flaws to it, but, you know, absolutely, like, the theatrical experience helps with even storyline problems.
Right. I agree. I mean, the story, it has a lot of problems, but when you're in the theater, the wow and the, like, the visuals and stuff definitely overcame some of those hardships, which kind of goes to, you know, when you're at home, that's not really necessarily happening. And I think that's why also people, we've talked about this before, but people are, they don't pay attention when they're at home. They're on their phones, right. They got their laptop out. This is the type of movie that the littlest thing to take you away from it will take away from the movie, because
right. It's
not strong enough to hold you with distractions.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of a little bit? And do you remember when Speed Racer came out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And remember people didn't like it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No, I've not seen it. So
you've not seen it. Okay. Yeah. Well, Speed Racer was especially disappointing for me, and I'll take a little sidebar. Speed Racer was one of the first big blockbusters that came out when we had our brand new digital cinema equipment. So we had our first digital projectors. And I was really excited because the whole thing with Speed Racer was the intense colors and the, you know, fast moving. And I thought, oh, this is going to look great on digital with digital projection. And it did. It did look great and it was awesome. But the movie itself and left something to be desired. People weren't into it. They didn't like John Goodman. They didn't like the movie itself. They didn't like the story. They didn't like the script, blah, blah, blah. But it ended up being sort of a big disappointment. And part of it is because the design, maybe the content of the movie, the quality of the movie, did not match the concept. Right. Like there was a concept to the design of the movie, which is really interesting. I mean, Jason is such a smart guy, and he has such a high movie IQ. It's really interesting that he was able to point out that sort of high concept to you, so that you were able to sort of appreciate that while you were watching the movie. But that to me is a little bit like what happened with Speed Racer. All the energy, all the good work went into the design, and they did not keep up the quality of the rest of the production with it.
Right.
Might be what happened.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I want to talk a little bit about the film. I guess, I don't know, you haven't seen it. Did you see what's in the trailer or in the stinger?
Yeah, I did. I saw the stinger.
Okay. So, spoilers for the next couple seconds. In the stinger, we have Linda Carter makes an appearance as an Amazon, one that they talk about in the movie. Have you know, and she catches like a really heavy pole and saves a kid or whatever, and it's just this kind of neat little reveal. I think especially if you're older, you're like, oh, you know, I remember Linda Carter or whatever. But this is one of the problems that I think is. I thought the thing about Wonder Woman is that she was the daughter of Zeus, and so she has all of these powers, but then they allude that all Amazons are super strong and live forever by having Linda Carter still alive and picking up things. And it just bothered me a little bit. It took some of the specialness out of like Wonder Woman and who she is and everything. And I was like, I don't understand, like, yeah, the Amazon are really strong, and you know when they're on Themyscira, they live for like a really long time. But like, I thought the thing with them is they're like super warriors, but they're not super powered. Like, not everyone is Wonder Woman.
I thought they were.
Oh,
see. Maybe I'm obviously could be wrong on that, but that's what I got the impression from the first movie was that they were all sort of in that together.
Well, maybe they changed the canon. And I know. It happens. Maybe I'm just
blind. You can't change canon.
What is this? What is this, some sort of war where you can just use a different canon?
Right. You can't change canon. Canon is canon. So they wouldn't have changed canon. Maybe they're like, you know,
whoa.
Bug off, canon. Maybe they're ignoring the canon.
We'll make our own canon. That's what they're saying.
I don't really feel comfortable using that word because I don't really know exactly what it means. I know how that we use it in senses when we talk about Star Wars and comic book stuff, but I don't feel like I'm qualified to say things like canon.
We need Frodo to write in and give you a good explanation of canon.
Right, and what was the other one? World building. I don't know. I'm not qualified. I'll leave that to you.
All right, so that's Wonder Woman 1984. I say watch it, make your own decision. I thought it was worth my time. So
the other reason why I didn't watch it is because the only window, I did have one window. It was a tight window.
Oh.
And the only reason why I didn't jump in and watch it at that moment was because I know Amy really wants to see this. So I'm going to watch it with Amy here this week. And I look forward to it. I'm excited to watch it. This is the kind of movie to me where even the negativity around it, I don't care. Like, a lot of times that bothers me and I can't get past that. Sometimes it ruins a movie for me, but I'm down. I'm down with Wonder Woman. I think this is cool. So
you're such a romantic. It's not even Valentine's Day, and you're just loving it out there.
That's what I do, David. I think of Amy before. She's a before thought.
Oh.
We got in a fight years ago. Years ago.
The one fight.
Right. The one time we got in a fight. And I forget what holiday it was. It was either Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or her birthday, or it was some holiday. And I was at work. This was early in the Penn Cinema days when I was like a manager. And I had been working like literally all day long. And I forgot about whatever holiday it was. And on the way home, I like stopped somewhere. Probably like CVS or some bullshit, you know, awful place. And like picked up some crap, you know. And we ended up later getting in this big fight. And she said she didn't want to be an afterthought. She said, "You make me feel like I'm an afterthought sometimes." And I was, well, considering how in love I am with this woman, and I have been since 1990, that was shook me to my core. Ugh. And I've never once since that day ever had her be an afterthought. And now, so the joke around the family is she's always a beforethought.
The romantic over here.
So if you're going to buy Amy presents, you got to make sure that you get presents that somehow prove that you got them well in advance. Well in advance of said birthday, Mother's Day, Wife Day, whatever. Wow. Do not. Dude, if you're ever, this is just a little public service for our listeners. If you're ever on your way to a birthday party for Amy, you better have gotten that gift last week. Do not stop. Do not stop on the way to the party and buy her something.
She will know.
You're better off just not buying her anything.
Wow. Wow.
That was
service announcement.
Yeah. And some other time, not today, some other time I'll tell you about the time she told me I stink.
That wasn't today?
She said, you stink. And I said, oh, I know. I'll take a shower. And then she said, like, no, you always stink. You stink. You smell bad. This was in 1993. And ever since that day, I've been the cleanest person you'll ever meet. I have not stunk one day in my life since March 13th, 1993.
Mark down the day.
That is a true story.
I 110% believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. All because of how much I love her.
Well, other things that you love are the letters that we get from the audience, right?
I love the emails. And we got some doozies this week from some of our favorite people.
Yeah. You want to take us off on this one?
Yeah. My favorite email that we got all week was from the mystery novel.
Okay.
And to appreciate how funny this guy is and how much we love hearing from him, I'm going to just read this email verbatim. Now, I feel a little bit bad because this is a guy who, as we discussed at the top of the show, may have unfortunately spent many, many of his precious few minutes listening to this show. Okay, now, in fairness to you and me, I do believe we've been informed in years past that he listens to the show on pretty high speed.
Right, right.
Right. So, you know, I'm not giving him full credit. Right. For all the minutes because, you know, he listens to 60 minutes of the show in like 2.5 minutes.
Right, yeah, right. If even. Right.
But anyway, he had a tough week. And I'm going to read this email, and you can see for yourself why his week was so tough. it's starting to sink in that I have squandered over 100 hours of my precious minutes listening to each and every one of your podcasts. In an effort to reduce that kind of time commitment going forward, I'd like to make a request. Please add a one-minute segment at the end of each podcast. It's like a little shout-out to Frodo. At the end of each podcast. Was it Frodo or who wrote in last week?
Yeah, it was Frodo, yeah.
Please, so Scott writes, please add a one-minute segment at the end of each podcast called TLDL. Too long, didn't listen. Tell me the jokes, what to watch for or avoid, and throw in a few sound effects. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Too long, didn't listen, because I'm, I don't have the patience for reading, long stuff. And here he is, too long, didn't listen.
I love it. I like how he's just throwing the jokes and the sound effects.
Right.
Speaking of which, we have a new theme song for the Mystery Gobble.
We do the gobble gobble. We do the turkey wobble. We do the gobble 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 gobble. Gobble, gobble.
And since you can't see on our podcast, I do want the record to reflect that when David plays the gobble soundtrack, I do bust a move big time.
Big time. I just wish somebody had big walked time out to the lobby to see you busting said move.
Right, right.
And see how quickly you stopped.
extra charge for that.
All right. Well, we also heard from Pirate Dave this week, which I loved this email. He said, prepare for the most highfalutin pinkies out comment you'll get this week.
Prepare for the most highfalutin pinkies out comment you'll get this week.
Just pop that pinky out. Look, Pixar doesn't make movies for kids. They make art.
Art for everyone.
Whoa. He says, I dismiss the idea that just because Pixar makes animated movies or that they are a Disney entity, that means their movies are or should always be kid-friendly. I mean,
what about Cars?
No. We're not going to talk about Cars.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, I mean, Soul is the second time they've gone to the afterlife.
And he's not even counting Coco.
Right? Well, isn't that the first time?
Oh, right.
So he is counting Coco. So that's two times. They're here to give us rich emotional stories that reflect the human condition. They're not making Minions movies.
Oof. And then a couple hours later, he stewed on it. Go ahead. And he pops back in. Ah, you thought I was done.
He's like, get that other pinky out, because here it is. He said, I got another line for you. Children disliking your movie should be considered an endorsement, never an indictment. Yeah, that word.
Indictment.
Yeah. To which I said,
that's got to be the best part I've ever seen.
So it would seem.
All right, I got a few comments for this.
All right.
All right, I don't even know where to start. The first place I'm going to start is, and I say this with love, thank you. We should change his name from Pirate Dave to Captain Obvious. And I've known Dave forever, and so he knows that I say this with love. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Yes, we all know that Pixar is making art, and that Pixar is way more than, stupid kids' movies. We're not talking about Croods.
What?
We're not talking about Tom and Jerry. So I totally actually agree with Dave. It's cool. I totally agree. The second thing I want to comment on is I don't think that you, David, I don't think you did justice to the number of times Pirate Dave used the exclamation point in this email.
All right.
I love it because I picture him like fired up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have to keep, and another thing. Are you, and another thing.
So is this going to be a segment of Who Read It Better?
No, because it's too long. Well, okay, here's how we'll read it better. Here, we'll just pull out one sentence. David read the sentence like this. They're here to give us rich emotional stories that reflect the human condition. David, Pirate Captain Dave, he wrote it like this. They're here to give us rich emotional stories that reflect the human condition. Condition.
I could see him like enthusiastically doing that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but all kidding aside, the third thing I want to say about the email from Pirate Captain Dave is this. I laughed out loud when he said they're not making Minions movies. And Dave, you better check in with your boy Drew, because Drew is a huge fan of the Minions movies. And if he finds out, well, he does, because he's on the email chain. If when he read that you're trying to compare Pixar is so much better than Minions, he might feel a certain way about that.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
That was great.
All right. So we had some good emails this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are the highlights.
Definitely shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com, if you want to be a part of the show. So now, what are you reading? What are you doing? I have something interesting this week, but let's go with you first. Let me hear about all the things you did other than watch Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, well, we better blow through mine because I don't have anything groundbreaking. But I did rewatch all four of us rewatched Good Will Hunting because it's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I was alarmed to find out that neither of my children had ever seen it.
Whoa.
So we watch it, and it was well-received. We also watched RuPaul's Drag Race. You're hip to that show? Are you aware of that?
I don't watch it, but I hear good things.
It's very entertaining. It's pretty cool. And now I'm totally hooked. And along those same lines, we're also watching The Bachelor, which, again, is total garbage, but I'm but I'm completely hooked and can't wait until tomorrow to watch it again. And then I did watch something that I had never seen on TV before that I was really excited about. World Championship Professional Tag.
What?
Remember when you were like six and you were running around like the gymnasium and like on the playground equipment and like the kids would play tag?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's a professional world championship teams that play tag.
What?
And I watched it. It was on NBC Sports and it was exactly as amazing as you would hope.
Man, I'm so curious now.
It was incredible. But so you're kind of thinking to yourself, what's the deal with this? You're picturing like a reality show with like a bunch of sly like stoners. But what it actually was parkour athletes. Like those guys that like do the from the Bourne, you know, like, yeah, you know, the action figures. And then they do, there's all this equipment that they're sort of hopping over and diving under. And, you know, it's really intense. And these are really fast athletes. And I have no idea how you get into be professional tag, but it was incredible.
I'm going to have to look this up because I'm so curious.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, really cool. I'm also reading a book called How Not to Die by Michael Greger, in which he outlines a chapter on all of the top reasons, natural causes of death around the globally, you know, why humans die, and then goes into diet and nutrition and, you know, what you can do to improve your lifestyle and you make better choices and live longer. So I want to live longer.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, you need more time to read Dune.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that book's going to go on forever. That guy sent me that dude sent the first chapter last week. I'm still trying to finish reading it. TLDR, what's up?
All right, so for me, I'm continuing watching The Expanse, which you need to get on board. And Star Trek Discovery ended this week, and boom, dude. Oh, so good. Like, it feels like real Star Trek. If you If you gave up on Discovery, it's time to come back, because the season finale, it makes it all right. And I'm really excited for the future of that franchise. Also, I watched The Bourne Supremacy to follow up on how people were thinking what was going on. And I figured it out. I think I know why I don't like these movies. Because I think that the music director and the director of photography were both like, what would it be like if we gave mass audiences epilepsy? and so the camera's just all over the place. And then the music director was like, what if I was making music for a much more exciting film? And so he made this really intense music for scenes that are not exciting at all. And I think that's the part that, like, just makes me so irritable watching these movies. And then finally, more than watch or anything, I had a 3D puzzle where I built
a
working hurdy-gurdy. It actually plays. Are you ready for this beautiful music?
I'm ready.
Doesn't that sound amazing? Sounds horrible.
Can you make me a file of that so I can listen to it while I'm falling asleep?
It was really fun. I definitely recommend, if you like to put things together, like Legos and stuff, this is definitely one of those things to check out.
How's that stand working for it?
Well, it works when I'm paying attention and not, like, trying to do two things at once. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for noticing.
Yes, sir. This isn't a digital podcast.
Can I just put this out there, by the way? It has nothing to do with movies or puzzles or anything, but the Saturday Night Live skit called Stranger Danger is just freaking priceless.
Is that a new one for this week?
No, it's old. It's like years and years old. But there's this great – they all play these kids in class, and Ed Norton is the police officer who came to class to teach them about stranger danger, and it all goes horribly wrong. And the one guy the line that made me think of it is the guys – they're talking about not eating candy in a van with a stranger.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, so you're telling me I'm sitting in this dude's van eating all this candy and I can't even talk to him? That's disrespectful, Officer Rosen. That's just straight up bad manners. I'll post that link on our Facebook page. That's okay. So good. I love it.
Good deal. So next week, Monster Hunter. Get ready for us to rip this one apart. Because it's going to be fun, I'm hoping. So, we got Monster Hunter. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, best way to do that is send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. You know, we'll definitely hit you back. We'll talk about you on the show. Don't worry. Maybe even a sound effect. That's probably horrible. Whatever. Who knows? But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that?
Tell your mom.
Yeah. Your mom.
I don't mean tell your mom. I mean tell David's mom.
Yeah, tell my mom.
Yeah, tell David's mom.
Yeah. she needs all the reinforcement that I do something with my life as possible. So
help a brother out and let her know that everybody, all the cool kids, are listening to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Right. Please.
Your life is going down the drain.
Why won't you amount to anything? All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care.
And party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.